gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. You're about to listen to Prophet Livingstone Olualola as he brings you the message of the gospel from the presence of God.
On Thursday, we looked at warfare intelligence. Today, we are looking at harvest intelligence. Harvest intelligence. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. I pray that this message will be the word that you need. I pray that this message will be your missing link to some massive, massive, massive breakthrough in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. The Bible says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease, while the earth remaineth." Hallelujah. This is beautiful one side, and I put this before I'm going to put again. We walk by common sense, we run by principles, we fly by instruction. One of the principles of the earth that God has set in place is the principle of seed time and harvest. One of the principles that God has set in place in the earth or on the earth for which men are supposed to run, or through which men are supposed to run, by which men are supposed to run in their journey in life, is the principle of seed time and harvest. Another way to phrase that is the principle of sowing and reaping. So if you may, the topic can also be paraphrased: a reaping intelligence, or the reaper's intelligence, the reaper's mindset. It is not enough to have the mindset of a sower and not have the mindset of a reaper. It is not enough to have the mindset of seed, and not have the mindset of harvest. Hallelujah. It is within the legal jurisdiction of the framework of the operations of God that seed sowers will also be harvest reapers. It is divine principle, it is divine order that seed sowers will also be harvest reapers. Amen. Now, there is a wisdom to seed sowing that makes the seed sown to be effectual and to be his best. And there is also a wisdom to harvest that makes the harvesting to happen maximally, and the harvest and the proceeds and the fruit of the harvest to be his best. Hallelujah. Amen. The first thing I would like to talk about is that we must understand that there is the present harvest and the coming harvest. Amen. Should I say that again? There is a present sense to harvest, and there is a coming sense to harvest. If the only idea of harvest that you have is futuristic, you will lose what the Lord wants to give you, or you may lose what God wants to give you in the moment. And if the only idea of harvest that you have is that it must be in the moment, I receive my harvest now, then what you are doing by that is that you are mentally disconnecting from the thing that God has put in place for you to lay hold on in time to come. Truthfully speaking, it is not everything that God has for you that he will give you now. There are things that God has ordained for you for time to come. Is this okay? There are things that God has put in place for you to lay hold on, to come into, to experience in time to come. They are not ordained for the present moment. They are not ordained for the present time. Jesus said to his disciples, "There are many things I want to say to you, but I cannot say them to you now because you can't understand them yet. Howbeit, when the Holy Spirit shall come, he will guide you into all truth. Amen. Yes. You know, an excellent person says that scripture does not mean there are certain truths you don't qualify for at some point. Actually, that's one of the things it means. Certain person says that scripture simply means once the Holy Spirit comes, you know everything Jesus wanted to say to you when the Holy Spirit hasn't come. Is it clear? That's some people's interpretation of that scripture. Because Jesus, I'm speaking from John chapter 16, by the way. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth, there are many people to you, but you can't hear them now. But when the Spirit of truth shall come, he will guide you into all truth. So certain persons believe that scripture only means that when the Spirit of truth shall come, you will know everything at once that Jesus would have said, but because you are not yet born again, you can't undo. So it's waiting for you to be born again. So once you become born again, you can undo every truth. Adila has to renew. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Amen. From verse 12 downward. I think we should see. Say it from verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 11. Somebody help me read. Anybody, any fast person. Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 11. Okay. Verse 10. From 10. Yes. Yes. Speaking about Jesus, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And of Melchizedek, we have many things to say, yes. They are hard to be uttered, yes. Seeing that you are dull of hearing. Hallelujah. Do you think that this epistle is written to unbelievers? Good. This epistle is written to who? Believers. Thank you. Seeing that you are dull of hearing, yes, go ahead. For the time that you ought to be teachers, you still have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have thought as have need of meat, yes, and not of strong meat. Thank you so much. This simply means there is a period in one spiritual journey that the right diet is milk. I have a babe in my house, and there are certain things we eat at home that I cannot give my baby because a digestive system cannot operate those things. Amen. A digestive system cannot operate the digestive system apps. The applications. Amen. The applications of a digestive system can't handle those meals. Yes. We don't even give her Maggie yet. So anything that has Maggie, we don't give her. We don't give her salt yet. We don't give her sugar, processed sugar yet. Because a digestive system, she's not yet one, so she doesn't eat rice. Meanwhile, I think you should pay attention to the right diet of children before you give birth. So now you're not been loading your children with food that they cannot process. And they say, he's eating it because that's what you gave him. So that he's eating it doesn't mean it's right. Is this okay? Children should not eat rice until they are one. Because of the makeup of rice and the digestive system of children. That's what, man? Polished rice. The rice we used to eat at home, is it polished? What color? Amen. So they should not eat polished rice, which is the rice that we eat in the house until they are one. That's what pediatricians, medical specialists say. That's what they say. But with that knowledge, there's a possibility for you once your baby is. Once a baby has one teeth, you say it can bite it. Start feeding the innocent child with food that. Amen. And I want you to know that there is a strong connection between the food your baby eats and the development of their brain. So there's a way you can give them the wrong diet and it will affect their mental capacity just because of what they eat. Study into it before you start giving birth to children because parenting is easy. Because parenting is easy. And don't parent people the way you see your neighbors parenting people. Go for knowledge. Give your children the best version of the parenting that exists. I said, my mom said when I was 2 months, I was taking Amala. At 2 months, my growth was rapid. Lagabaya. If your mom knew better, she wouldn't do that. Grace to you in Jesus' name. The Lord is good. How did we get here? The things certain revelations are, they are growth specific. They are not time specific. They are growth specific. Is this okay? So Jesus here used to come to a place of growth. Actually, certain revelations are time bound within the context of dispensations, right? Of the operations of God on the earth. So there are certain revelations of the kingdom of God that the prophets could not look into. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, that the prophets desire to look into these things. Amen. The prophet desires to look into the things as pertaining to the Christ. Even angels desire to look into these things. But because the time had not yet come for the revelation of the Christos to be unveiled on the earth, no matter how the prophet looked into these things, what he kept on seeing was parables and shadows and types. And the best of what they could see were in the prophetic image of the real thing. Is this clear? I'm trying to say that there are revelations that are dispensation logged. Amen. So certain revelations of things of the Spirit are logged into dispensations of time. Is this clear? The Lord is good all the time. For instance, now I'm so certain, I think I said this many years ago, that one of the revelations of the things of the kingdom that is going to become highly eroded as this age comes to an end is the revelation of immortality, which is not yet rampant in the body of Christ. Now there's a high tendency for you in 5 years not to hear anybody really teach about immortality. It's not yet open. Those scrolls are not yet open, but they will still be open. The Bible, because the Bible spoke about the angel of the seven trumpets. Hallelujah. And the Bible speaks about the mystery of Christ being fulfilled. Amen. I already know that today is prophetic speaking, so just follow me with your spirit. Hallelujah. The Lord is good all the time. Declare, I have understanding, and I have speed of understanding in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, so I was talking about dispensations and prophetic revelations. How the certain revelations are dispensation based. So I said that before the coming of the Lord, one of the revelations of the kingdom that is going to become highly eroded is immortality. The Bible says Christ brought two things to life, life and immortality. There is a strong teaching on life, eternal life, right? And the things that eternal life affords the believer. For instance, now, within abundant life is prosperity. Within abundant life is health. Within abundant life, hallelujah, is your endless communion with the Lord, energized by the Holy Spirit. Within abundant life is your unbreakable fellowship with God as you walk with Him in line with His instructions and obedience to His word. Is this okay? Hallelujah. The Lord is good all the time. So, the revelation of the things of the kingdom packed in eternal life in a major sense in this dispensation of the church has been consistently opened up. So people are coming into the reality of the things that is theirs because of life that Christ has brought to life. The Bible says in the book of Timothy by Paul, he said, Christ has brought life and immortality to life. So it means that life that was once hidden is now revealed, but immortality has not been opened up so much yet. Amen. So God is going to raise angels of the seven trumpets. Hallelujah. Should I say that again? God is going to raise what? Messengers of the seven trumpets. Messengers of the last trumpet, right? Messengers of the last trumpet. Who is going to... This messenger, this is not a man. Because God does not see what moves of the Spirit to singular men, lest they become idols. So God sees what moves of the Spirit to men, right? He shows men in their days, in their dispensation, and release flows of life to them, and bring them into journeys in the Spirit, where they come into the knowledge of the truth that is uncommon, not for themselves, but for their generation. Is this okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Could it be that one of those heralds is here sitting down? Could it be? But it is by the election of grace. It's by the election of grace. Hallelujah. The Lord is good all the time. Do you know why immortality has to be heralded? The message of immortality has to be heralded because if the message of immortality is not heralded, the grace of immortality will not be poured forth. Amen. The Bible says the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. So it means that the Lord released grace by giving truth. So whatever truth is revealed, the grace for that truth is poured forth. And so there's going to be a strong teaching on immortality, because the truth of immortality will be revealed to the church, because Christ is coming for a church that is mature. Is this okay? A church that is mature. A church that is able to connect to Christ by faith, to be trans... What's the word now? Transfigured. I think that's a good word. To be transfigured. The Bible says, not every one of us will sleep. Some of us will be changed. Is this okay? And I want you to know that Enoch was not changed by knowledge. Enoch was changed by faith. The Bible says Enoch believed God and he was not. So Enoch was transported into the realm of the heavens by the sovereignty of God. No, sir. By the faith of Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took him. But the Bible says he had this testimony. Hallelujah. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11. So I said today is prophetic teaching, so just follow me. This is why every day we'll be drinking milk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes we just meet. We just stop the meat with some meat here and there. It helps us to have balanced diet and... Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, the Bible says, but faith, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see them, and was not found, because God had translated him. So this is it. Enoch was translated, but was translated by God. Is this okay? Enoch was translated by faith. So this means Enoch believed for translation. So not all of us will sleep, some of us will be translated. And the flow of translation will come by the revelation of immortality, incorruption, the capacity of God to make mortal men become incorruptible. That revelation will become heralded in the end of days, because until then, listen to me, until then, the harvest of the church is not ripe. Until then, the harvest of the church is not right. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. So Christ is coming. The Bible says, unless the seed falls onto the ground, it abides alone. John 13:4 thereabout. It abides alone. But when it falls onto the ground, it dies. And then when it dies, it comes forth again. But it is not the same seed that was sown that comes forth. A new life emerges. And then what we have afterwards is, oh my, what we have afterwards is multitude of seeds of the same kind that was sown. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Christ rose from the dead, the first fruit of a kind. Christ rose from the dead with an incorruptible body, the first fruit of a kind. So, the resurrection of Jesus wasn't like the resurrection of Lazarus. The resurrection of Lazarus was the resurrection of a kind of life that can still die. But the resurrection of Jesus rose after another order of life that has the capacity to have a body, but the blood is no longer there. Amen. So Jesus, in the resurrected image, has a body, but there's no blood anymore, because the blood has been offered. You know what the Bible says? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But there is the body. But the body is a resurrected body. It's a resurrected body that can be taught. It's not like, it can be taught. It can, you know, Jesus said to Thomas, feel my hand. Like, feel my hand. So it still had flesh and bone. I love the word. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that the church, we are his flesh and bones.
That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 5.
Let us read it quickly. Ephesians chapter 5. Ela mahate kobra kila hasta. Ego roboti. Verse 30.
The Bible says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones.
Where his blood is been offered.
It's been offered. So the resurrected body is a body of flesh and bone. It's not a body of flesh and blood.
Hallelujah.
It's not
It's not in the new versions of NIV. It's in NIV. It's not in our, get our kind of Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Get our kind. There are certain key things that are not in that Bible. For instance, I think 1 John chapter 5 to 7 is not also in that Bible. Yes, there are several key scriptures like that are not in that verse.
Hallelujah. So we are members of his flesh and of his bones.
So in our resurrected form too, we will have flesh and bones. This is the reason for which when you get to heaven, you identify your mother. If she's in heaven.
She still looks like the mother that you used to know on the earth. But it's not in the same order of body anymore.
Is this okay?
When Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared, hallelujah. But the beautiful thing about this, the body of Jesus, is that it can change form. So it can appear today as an old man and appear tomorrow as a young guy. As need arise for his assignment.
Immortality clothed in light. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the harvest of the church. Jesus, the seed was sown for the harvest of the church. Jesus, the seed was sown for the harvest of the church. Jesus, the seed was sown for the harvest of the church. Jesus, the seed was sown for the harvest of the church. 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 Jesus is the first fruit because there is an order of men that will rise after his likeness and his image. Who will not see death nor corruption? They will be changed. Paul said, we will not all sleep. But we all will be changed. We all will be translated. We will give up corruption. He said, mortality will be created upon by immortality. Corruption will be created upon by incorruption. We all will be changed. But like I said, God is going to raise heralds, messengers of this truth to the end that the grace for this reality can be poured forth into the generation. Hallelujah. The generation of the closing age of the church. Is this clear? Alabaya mandi le crocia. Meanwhile, this word will end. Let me just remind you, and Jesus is coming. Amen. Jesus is coming soon.
So in case you are here, you are not born again. What are you waiting for? Hallelujah. Quickly be born again. Hastily,
hallelujah. Bethel is a righteous seed. If Jesus comes today, he's going to heaven.
I have so many scriptures to tell you that.
Hallelujah. Glory to God forever.
So, in case you are not born again, get born again fast. Hastily become converted. There is no time. Hallelujah. The Lord is good.
All the time. Lord, we ask that because of the revelation of the immortality that you have brought to the church to become real to us, in the name of Jesus Christ, deliver us from the pursuit of the mundane and help us to pursue the things that really matter. Deliver us from the pursuit of the mundane. Deliver us from the pursuit of the mundane, the pursuit of temporal things, ephemeral things, things that perishes with time, things that perish with using and usage. And Lord,
cause our gaze to be focused upon you. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 3, it says, set your affection upon things that are above. Set your affection upon things that are above, where Christ is seated. Lord, we ask that you cause us to set our affection on things that are above, where Christ is seated, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name of prayer. Amen. Okay. John chapter 4, verse 25. So let's continue our message. That was I don't know what to call that. Amen. That was an ayatol. A good diversion. But it's good. It's by the Spirit. John chapter 4, verse 35 to 38. So I was saying that there are two phases of harvest, the now harvest and the coming harvest. And I said, if the only idea of harvest you have is that harvest is a coming thing, it's not a now thing, you miss out on what God wants to give you now. And if the idea of harvest that you have is that harvest is a now thing, it's not a coming thing, you also miss out on the things that God has prepared out of you. So declare, my harvest is now, and my harvest is later. Yeah. There are measures of your harvest that are ripe now. And there are measures of your harvest that they are not yet ripe because you just started sowing the seed. Hallelujah. John chapter 4 from verse 35 to 38. The Bible says, say not me, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice. And herein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Verse 38 together. I sent to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. Hallelujah. This is one of the foundations of the now harvest. Is this okay? This is one of the foundations of what? The now harvest, the present harvest. So there's a present harvest that God needs me to come into, not on the account of my labors, but on the account of the labors of other men. He said, I've sent you to reap in a place where you have not bestowed labor, so that the saying is true, one soweth and other reapeth. Amen. But let me just say this, just in case there's someone here who does not have a mental space to hold the thought that they will reap in a place where they did. They will stay in a place where they will not reap. Is that okay? You will sow and not reap because you also reap what you did not sow. Clear enough? Is this okay? So it's not a cause that you will sow and not reap. You will sow for certain persons to come and reap because you too will reap where certain persons have sown. So what's the... thank you. That's the balance of life. You want to reap in a place where others have sown, but you don't want to sow in a place where others have, where others will reap. This means, God can send you to a territory to labor for a while, and you labor for 3 years, but there is no fruit. But the next missionary coming to that territory, we just begin to go about our place, and suddenly people, and the guys feel like, mission is so easy. Oh, Jesus. And the guys feel like, mission is so easy these days. As I entered the city, it's like they were waiting for me. It's like they were waiting for me. Hallelujah. Now what I just said is the exact thing that happened with Philip in Samaria. Jesus in John chapter 4 met the woman by the well of Samaria. And the Bible says Jesus spoke to the woman by prophecy. The woman was so touched that the Bible records that this woman who was known as a woman who had been with 7 husbands. The Bible says she went into the city and called the hostess and said, come and see someone who has told me everything I have ever done. That's one of the things about prophecy. Once you give somebody one correct word, they say it's everything of their life that you have declared to them. The woman said, come and see someone who has told me everything I have ever done. And the Bible says the whole city gathered to hear what Jesus would have to say. But guess what? None of them became born again as it were after that time because Jesus had never died. But the Bible says, years later, Philip went to Samaria, and not just one or two. Philip went to Samaria and did one or two. And the Bible says, the whole city had joy because Philip came to the city. So it means that When Philip came and then they heard that he was preaching the name of Jesus, we know that guy. We know that Jesus that spoke to him. Is that not the prophet who spoke to the woman at the well? And I was like, there's somebody who is preaching in his name now. You won't believe that man died, but they said he rose again. My God, he must be so powerful. Let me go and hear what the man has to say. You know, and then they gathered at Philip's crusade, and the old city was born again. The old city was saved because Philip came to reap in a place where he did not sow. Hallelujah. So there was a practicality to the very words of Jesus here, where Jesus said, I will send you to, he said, Luke, the harvest is ripe. Do not say there are yet 4 months to harvest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord is good. Do not say there are yet 4 months to harvest. You know, let me give you a story, personal life story. This story is a diverser, was a good diverser. So, I and my wife were thinking, we finished our premarital counseling, we're not thinking, so what's our wedding date? And I hear in my spirit, do not say there are yet 4 months to harvest. So we got wedded exactly 4 months later. It fell on a Wednesday, July 7th, and that was when we got wedded. Because do not say there are yet 4 months. And I just see in my spirit that was it. And I want to add our own confirmation that we are getting married July 7th. And that's how we chose July 7th. So we also came into the harvest of this word of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You must have a heart that makes you, that helps you understand that you will enjoy things you did not work for. Amen. Declare, I will enjoy things I did not work for, because I am living in harvest now. Now you see, your today's harvest can be as a result of someone else's labor tomorrow or yesterday, or your own previous labor. Is this okay? Yes. It can be as a result of someone else's labor in time past or your own labor in time past. But you must have a mindset to expect harvest consistently. Hope you know that breakthroughs are harvest. Is this clear? Yes. They are harvest. Harvest of different kind of seed sown. Different kind of nurturing of the seed happening. Different kind of things going into operation to the end that the harvest comes forth and it is maximized. Hallelujah. Then, talking about the coming harvest, you should be aware that there are certain things that God will begin with you now, but you won't enjoy them now. And be comfortable with that. That there are certain connections you will have now that connection will benefit you 10 years later. And then you are asked by people to be not only the connection, like, this guy. There are certain persons I've been listening to for long, you know, one-on-one. And in my mind, I'm like, this guy, ordinary research card, this guy cannot even think of sending to me. Since all these years, and this guy is working, he's okay. Wait, what does this guy take me for? Amen. Anytime I'm thinking like that, I know that he's the devil. So I immediately say, I bind this stupid devil. I am not working for that guy. I am blessing him because I love him and because I love the Lord. The Lord is going to ensure that I do not lose my harvest over his life, either through him or through others. Is this clear? Hallelujah. Now you see, it is very unwise to compare our presence. Imagine you're in a present state of seed sowing and you're comparing the harvest that you should get now with the harvest that someone else who has been sowing seeds for 20 years is expecting. Is this clear? Is this okay? I was thinking yesterday and I said, it is foolishness for a young boy of 20 to try and be comparing who is more prosperous with somebody who is 40 something. And both of them are diligent. Both of them are faithful. Both of them are serving the Lord. Both of them obey kingdom people. It is foolishness. There's something called compound interest. This guy has been doing it for 20 years. He will come into compound interest. You don't have that length of labor. So it's foolishness to be expecting that you're going to come into the same measure of others as this person. God is not a respecter of anybody. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. And the degree to which you sow is the degree to which you reap. The Bible says, he that sows sparingly, brother James, will reap sparingly. And he that sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So it means the degree of your harvest is the degree to which you sow your seed. If you sparingly sow seeds in the hour of the seed, I think I should even take many steps backward because there is something called seed time. If you miss seed time, you miss harvest. I brother gave testimony of his farm and all of that. Now, imagine if it's now he wants to start planting the corn. Now that it is harvest season. There is a time that when you begin to sow seed, it's already invalid. We must begin to walk by the Spirit to understand the Kairos seasons of seed sowing. And seed sowing does not first mean giving resources. Please, we must outgrow that. So that anytime we see seed in the Bible, we are able to judge that revelation beyond monetary donation of financial stewardship to somebody or to a place or to a ministry. Seed is way more than money. Way, way more than money. And there is seed time. It is seed time that forces others to happen. He that sows the wind will reap the wild wind. He that sows nothing will reap nothing. He that sows into the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows into the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Amen. So, it is wrong for us to talk about harvest if we have not considered your seeds. The seeds you have sown and how you have maximized seed time. How you have maximized seed time. One of the things that precedes seed time is rain. Are you following me? And in the same way, one of the things that precedes harvest is also rain. This is what I can say from scripture. The Bible is the former rain and the latter rain. There is the former rain, there is the latter rain. So there is the rain that advances into seed time. And there is the rain that advances into harvest time. So there is the rain that seeding needs, and there is the rain that harvesting also needs, so that the two operations are maximized. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because really, the focus of this season is two things. One, to help you see how you can lay hold on the harvest now. And two, to help you see how you can maximize seed time. To the end that you can have amazing harvest waiting for you in the days ahead. That's the focus of this season. To help you see how you can maximize the harvest of this season, right? Or the harvest in this season, and to help you see how you can also maximize this season. Because let me tell you this, for a wise man, seed time and harvest overlap. The sower will overtake the reaper. For a wise man, seed time and harvest overlap. So he knows that my harvest is also my seed time. That's the reason for which, for a wise financial steward, every harvest of financial resources, he gives the seed out of it. Because he knows that what sustains harvest is seed. So it means when I stop adding seeds to sow, I also stop adding harvest to receive. The Bible says, if the clouds are full, it will rain upon the earth. What fills the clouds? The harvest of waters. Right? Or rather, the sowing of water from the earth into the heaven is called evaporation from this time. So the waters on the surface of the earth evaporate into the clouds and then condenses. And then when the cloud is filled, the Bible says it rains upon the earth. Is it okay? Hallelujah. Am I too fast? We are good, right? Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Let us see few scriptures. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God.
Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Now, before I move on, let's see that John chapter 4. The Bible says in that verse 36, 5:36, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest. And he that reaped received wages." Amen. Amen. Harvest now. How do you receive harvest now? Look. How do you receive harvest now? Look. The Bible says, look, the fields are white. It means, until you look, you will not see. Look, the fields are white. Look around you. Look around you. There's a very, I'm not on my historical research, but I believe there's a high tendency that when Jesus was giving these words, Jesus was speaking to them with respect to a particular field. Because, yes, these guys are farmers, right? Farming is one of the strongest economic strength of the Jewish people. Hallelujah. Farming, then, in days of Jesus now. So when Jesus said, look, I believe that there was a physical context to that, where Jesus said, see. But he did that as a prophetic illustration of something that is deeper than that physical side. Amen. I am saying it will be difficult for us to maximize the harvest now if you don't have the culture of looking to see which field is ripe now for harvest. Look to see. In other words, pay attention to the situations around you and discern what is God asking me, or where is God asking me to cast the sickle in this season. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, he that reapeth receive wages. He that reapeth receive wages. It means the field can be ripe for harvest, but no one is reaping. And because no one is reaping, the people that are supposed to have financial sustenance by reaping are broke because they are not reaping. Hallelujah. He that reapeth receive what? Wages. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. He that reaps receive wages. So it means there is a source of sustenance God has placed into your harvest. Within your harvest is your sustenance. Within your harvest is your sustenance. There is a flow of sustenance, financial sustenance, that God has put into your harvest. But you must have the culture of looking to see which field is right for harvest. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. The Lord is good. So let me bring it on more. There is a pressing need. Now, look around you. Which of the fields around you is ripe for harvest? The fields for all of us are different. Some fields are fields of, oh, Taliga, Boro, Sabina, ha. Some fields are fields of relationship. To the end that there are certain persons you will meet now, right? That person you met is a field. Is a field. And you're supposed to cultivate that field for like 2 years. And in 2 years' time, it is right for an harvest of you casting the sickle and making a demand on the weight of the things you have put into that relationship. And then ask that, is there any way you can help me with this? And it's a major stuff. And the person can't deny you because you have not sought that field until the point where it is now ripe for harvest. To cast sickles into fields that are not ripe for harvest is to ruin the seed. This is the reason for which certain persons run from some men of God. Because the man of God has not nurtured them enough to be able to make them have conversations as though conversations towards them, this need in the ministry, if you feel led to so. There's certain person, if you tell somebody just came into your space in 2 weeks, you're already sending him accounts of the ministry. As a partner with us, the Lord will bless you. And the person says, I've been running from this thing all my life. This thing found me again. And the person just deleted your number and blocked you. And they say, this son, I thought he came to submit. When he came to me, he said the Lord told him to submit to me. The Lord told him to submit to me. And now I just ask him, oh God, these people, they don't like giving in this generation. Man of God, you are wrong. That field is not ripe.
turned the field of relationship so that they can become right. And then on certain days, the Lord will say, look around. Say, Lord, I need a car. God will say, look around. You tell that person, the car will come. Lord, I need a house. God will say, you have said, tell that person. Is this okay? But if you have not been tending your field, and that the field of relationship that God has placed in your, look over, oh Matilda. Some people look, when they look at the field, instead of harvest, they are seeing thorns and weeds everywhere. Because they've not been cultivating the field. So instead of seeing that the field is now white for harvest, they are saying, I have work to do on this field. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. The Lord is good. All the time. There are some financial partners I have in ministry now that I started with them some 7 years ago. I started with them some 7 years ago, right? When they were students. But now they are working. And without me ever asking, for resources. I remember one of these guys, one day he sent me a picture of Apostle Aaron buying a car for his future father. And I said, sir, I will do this first. And I said to him, I believe God with you. You will win in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I remember one day this guy sent me money. I have to call him. I said, wait, where is this money? You know, there are certain amounts you receive, and they're like, wow, something is a whole Yahoo. You know? You get annoyed and say, I'm saying to somebody that has sent you 10,000, 15,000, and then somebody just sent you above 100,000. Like, won't you ask? If you did not ask a wicked father, yes, sir, you should ask. I said, bro, you did not give me any testimony in recent times. Like, I think you gave a testimony that, sir, I just got this job, and they are paying me, you get this. Beyond what I had, so I know that, oh, okay, most likely it's from the testimony. So he didn't send testimony, and then I called him immediately. I said, hello, bro, what's going on? I need an explanation. I saw something that needs to be explained. Amen. And then he just started laughing, like, you're laughing. And then he explained how the money came, blah, blah, blah. Hallelujah. And the guy has been faithful for a few years now. He has been faithful. He has not missed a month. Why did I say that? Tend the field. Ikomatile, Barasto, Penila. Tend the field. Fields of relationships that God has placed in your life. And let me say this. Remember, when I started helping him, I was not helping him with an intention that this guy will become a financier. Ha, for where? Now God they do this. Now God they run those things. So if not, you just become an angry man of God. I said, this church, they don't even give. Oh God, blind prayer and something frustrated with church members. I beg, blind prayer. It is the Lord that channels resources to you through men. Amen. But usually, God will use the people that are the fields that you have tended. So that in the same place where you have sown, it will cause you to also reap. Amen. And there are certain places where we have not sown and we are reaping. In the same way, I have certain people around me that took it upon themselves to start doing financial partnerships. I have never, as it were, when they started, I've never ministered to them one-on-one. I've never met them. And but they heard God. They believe it was God leading them. So we will also reap in places where we have not. So this person, they were raised by other men of God. It's not me. But the Lord led them to partner with the work I am doing. And hallelujah. The Lord is good. I want to encourage you. The field you are not sowing now, don't stop. It may look like there's nothing coming to you from there. Don't stop. Don't stop not sowing the seed. Don't stop not sowing the seed. Don't stop not sowing the seed. Because one day, that will be the place God will say, cast in the sickle. That will be the place God will say, cast in the sickle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel like telling someone that don't stop not knowing the field of buying and keeping the coins in crypto. Don't stop not knowing the field. Because one day, that will be the place God will say, cast the sickle, because the harvest is ripe. But let me tell you, pressure can make you go and offload all your money on crypto. He said, can I cast that sickle in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. Most often than not, try you can do crypto with the fear of God. Don't try to use prayers to raise coins, to raise the monetary value of coins in the market. I speak to this coin, rise! If the Lord shows you, not even if the Lord shows you, if you have understanding and you see the structure, the economic structure, remember the economic system that are in place that gave that value to that coin. You know that this prayer you are praying, you just need patience, because the Lord told you to buy it. Buy it and leave it unto the Lord who told you to buy it. Amen. Sir, there are certain seeds that prayers cannot fasten their roots. See, there's no one on earth who had walked through the earth who is more anointed than Jesus. Right? That man still used 9 months in Mary's womb. Jesus is not, I compress time. Covelia, come be. Ilame, I will let them go. I am the Son of God. Let this next one be born in a day. A capetine. Saviata. I trust the Jews. They'll say this one. Divine cast a seed before time, which is not part of the promise of God for Israel. Because that's what the Bible says. Malachi chapter 3 verse 9. They said this one, divine, you that divine cast a seed before time. So instead of being a point, it will be a negative, because it's part of the curse of the devourer. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. So prayers cannot fast track certain seeds. You just need patience. Amen. Pastor Faith. Patience. This pastoring thing will pay you. It just needs. So this pastoring thing will just do it. Is this how our life will continue to go? Amen. It just needs patience. It just needs patience. Hallelujah. Plow your field and don't stop. A time will come that field will be ripe for harvest. Glory to God. The Lord is good. Rimando fratali goste. Let's talk about the place of rain in the harvest. Mongre fatali agara. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 24. The Bible says, neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed week of the harvest. Hallelujah. This means harvest comes with appointment. Harvest comes in appointed time. Amen. Harvest has its appointed time. Harvest has its appointed time. And that's why I said we can't force harvest to happen. We can only align with appointed time. Is this fair? The Bible says the vision is an appointed time. It's an appointed time. But the Bible says here that the Lord gives rain, the latter rain and the former rain. And I said, this signifies the rain for sowing and the rain for reaping. The rain for planting. So it means rain ushers in harvest season and planting season. Is this fair? Rain ushers in what? Harvest season and planting season. All right. Let us see another scripture. Proverbs 26 verse 1. The Bible says, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest. You know what this means? This means it is a principle that God has put in place. We can't call it summer if there is no snow. Is this clear? We can't say it's summer when there is no snow. It's not summer unless there is snow. In the same way, it's not harvest unless there is rain. So, it is showing to us that an essential principal component of summer is snow, and of harvest is rain. Let us also see. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What is the rain? Isaiah chapter 55. What is the rain? Isaiah chapter 55. From verse 10 to verse 11. The Bible says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." Hallelujah. Verse 11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." So, the rain is the word. Is this clear enough? Amen. Did I lose you? The rain is what? The rain is what? The rain is what? This means we shouldn't sow if the word has not come. Is this clear? Should I say that again? Should I say that again? We shouldn't sow if the word has not come. You know, I said it is the rain that ushers in the sowing season. And it also ushers in the harvest season. So, when the word has come, it is time to begin to sow. What does sowing mean? What does sowing mean? To till the ground, to plant the seed. How do you plant the seed of the word? Anybody? How do you plant the seed of the word? Someone says speaking. Okay, yes. But not fully. Ma? By doing it. You receive the seed from the Lord, which is the word. You plant the seed by doing what the word says. And let me tell you this, it is what is planted that grows. This means the word of God that you have not adhered and obeyed and taken steps towards will not produce any results. Because the seed of the word has not been planted. May the Lord cause you to be discerning, to be able to tell when the rain comes. Hallelujah. You see, what somebody hears and says, "This is a good season, I'm so glad." And that person says, "I feel so drained. This is a rain. Now I need to take steps that will bring a change and that will make room for others for me." Is this clear? The word of God should be responded to after. The Bible says, the rain comes from heaven and comes upon the earth. And you know what the rain comes to do? It comes to make the earth good enough to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So this means the rain of the word gives you seed to sow and bread to eat. Is this clear? Should I say that again? The rain of the word gives you what? Seed to sow and bread to eat. So the word of God is not just supposed to satisfy your spirit. So you came to church and you received the bread of the word, But how about the seed of the word? Is it clear? Many come to church, but the only thing they live with is the bread of the word. But the rain of the teaching of God's word is supposed to supply you two things: seeds to sow. In other words, words of instruction that need commensurate action, and also bread for the eater, food for your spirit, man. So you come to church, you receive the word, and you are energized that as you go again into the week, there is strength in you because you were fed with the word of faith and the word of grace, and the consciousness of the fatherhood and the goodness of God is strengthened in your heart, to the end that you can now take steps to begin to sow the seeds of the word, the instructions that came from the teacher. Because it is what we sow and what we plant that grows. Amen. Every teacher should give you two things: seed and bread. Seed to sow, bread to eat. Seed to sow, bread to eat. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Now you know what the Bible also says. The Bible says that you so you read as snow in summer and as rain in harvest. This means the word of God comes to give us seed to sow, right? It also comes to give us what we need for harvest. So you may not know what to do in order to have a need met. The need being met is an harvest. Are you following me? You may not know what to do, but when the rain of the word comes, it comes to usher in the harvest. It comes to usher in the harvest. So the rain of the word does not just give you seed to sow. It also puts in your hands the sickle for harvest. It shows you where to turn and receive the need from. Is this clear? Amen. This is the reason for which we must learn. Listen to me. You must learn to pray until the rain comes. Have you ever read the scripture that says, "Sow not amongst thorns"? If you don't pray, break forth your fallow ground. Break forth your fallow ground. Sow not amongst thorns. If you don't, you know how we do that? By prayer. Breaking forth your fallow ground in dry season is difficult. But when the rain begins and you begin to plow, breaking forth your fallow ground, it is easy, because rain makes the tilling and the plowing of the earth to be easy. Rain makes the planting to be easy. It makes the harvesting to be easy. Rain is the word of the Lord. We break our fallow grounds in prayers. And like I said, we must learn to pray until the rain comes. I can tell you this from experience. When the rain comes and you take steps in alignment with the rain, you are unstoppable. When the rain comes and you take steps in line with what the rain says, which is the word of God, you are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. Because the rain is a force. The rain is what? Is a force. The rain is a force of advancement. Is a force that helps you to be able to lay hold on the harvest and to be able to prepare for the harvest that is to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Ah, Elam Messi Dallah. May the Lord cause us to be prompt to prophetic instruction. In the name of Jesus. I make bold to tell you, there are many things God will tell you to do now that you don't need now. Just obey Him. If the Lord says, prepare a plan. Prepare a plan for $1 million. Invested into the works of the hand. $1 million seems like almost. $1 million is 1.5 billion, give or take, almost 5 billion naira. The Lord just it just came to you, like, prepare a plan for 1.5 million. Sit down, hopefully it takes a lot of mental drilling to be able to do something that makes sense, not stupid things. Some people are actually like, buy a private jet. Amen. So out of 1.5 billion, you can buy a private jet of say, give or take, 300 M, 400 M. You know? Because he wants to be a pilot. That's the only reason I can see that. This guy. Amen. We don't know his dealings with God. So because I'm telling you about being a pilot, being a pilot all this way, so he wants to buy a private jet. Amen. Glory to God. Obey unreasonable instructions, because there is no instructions that God gives you that is void. Void means empty. So every single instruction, I can tell you, this is everything in me. Every single instruction you receive from God connects to something bigger that you don't know. Every single instruction you receive from God connects to something bigger that you don't know. Hallelujah. Some time ago, I think it was last 2 years, the Lord told me, pay attention to sowing natives and where money is. And in my mind, I said, God, what does native have to do with the anointing? What does native have to do with being a prophet? Amen. That's my mind, but I didn't, that's just me. But I have a walk with God enough to know that God does not give instructions without relevance. Is this okay? Hallelujah. Imagine that this kind of word that I told you the Lord gives me now. If God gave you that kind of word, don't say, Lord, I don't have money. To not do it and give God the excuse that you don't have money is to be disobedient. Because the Lord expects that you will exercise faith for money to go and sow the natives. Because a season is coming that the corridor God wants to open to you, the only thing you need there, or the priority you need there, is natives. They don't do suits. They don't do suits and tie. You know, we know you're a pastorally graced individual. But in that corridor, what they do is native. And then they ask you to come and meet the chief person in that corridor, and you were in suit and tie, you were just sweating bula bula. And the person looked at you, and the person at this table. Because he didn't look like them. Well, I would have won native, but sir, the only native I have, the thing is sun. I've not even sown it, but that's why I just thought of wearing. I know that they wear native here, but I just thought that, just pardon me for today, sir. Get out of my office. And as the guy remembered, the Lord said, go and sow native. Hallelujah. That's how you prepare for harvest. God gives you sickle before harvest. Should I say that again? God gives you sickle before harvest. This instruction I just gave, this prophetic analogy I just made, is God giving that guy a sickle for the harvest. Hallelujah. The Lord says, go and get international passport. I said, Lord, I don't plan to travel anywhere. Don't be stupid. Honor your generation. And go and get international passport. What's your problem? Do you need to plan to travel to obey the Lord? I said, Lord, international passport is 60,000 now. That's 1 month's salary. To get the passport means I'll drink Gary. Lord, I'm not ready to drink Gary for now. And that's how the guy messed up with the sequel God wants to give him for a major open door. Let me tell you something and listen to me well. If God tells you to do an additional passport, and let me just paint the picture for you. It's 5 year expiry date, right? Year one, nothing. Year two, nothing. Year three, nothing. Year four, nothing. Until year four and the ninth month. And it's not even that you travel. They just need your passport number
for you to get a job.
An international job.
Yes. 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 What I just said is real time, real life talk. They just need your international. They are not taking anything, but I have NIN. NIN. They need you because it's an international job. Nobody recognizes you NIN. Apart from Nigeria, outside of Nigeria and then some neighboring West African countries. But they need your international passport number. And ask, sir, just give me 3 weeks. Let me just quickly get one. Amen. Aligoma, Vigila, Sombra, Fitele, Alamande, Botelia, Zota, Alemaha, Sotelia, Tepo. You see, I'm giving you wisdom on how to gather buckets. Remember what Elijah told the woman, go and borrow vessels. I'm giving you wisdom on how to gather buckets, how to gather sickles, how to dig ditches. How to dig ditches. A state of life will just come that you just be entering one fulfillment to another fulfillment to another open door, and you're like, it's like all these open doors in a wow, they just arrange now. Wow, life just doesn't make sense. And then you're like, I'm not even stressing. It's like everything they needed at every junction of these open doors, I have them. You had them because you were stupid enough. It's stupid people that follow God. You are stupid enough to obey the Lord when He told you to gather those vessels. You didn't need them, but you are gathering them. So imagine you get to a boutique one day and the Lord says, pick that white polo. I say, Lord, it is black I need. Lord, I can use black 3 times without washing. Hallelujah. But if I use this white one time, it will be dirty. And the Holy Ghost is not allowing pick that white. Until later, that was the white that saved you in a situation so that you don't miss something that you are appointed for. Amen. We are looking at the wisdom to gather sickles of harvest. Sickles of harvest. You see, the Bible says in the book of 2 Kings chapter 3 from verse 15, bring me a minstrel. As the minstrel began to play and to make the sounds of the Lord, the hand of the Lord came upon the prophet and began to prophesy. And the prophet said, the Spirit of the Lord says, dig ye ditches. You will not see the wind or the rain. For these valleys, these ditches will be full of water. That was the word the Lord gave me when we were planning to get wedded. Because when I planned to get wedded, I was a full-time missionary just like now. And I am more comfortable now than then. So, I said, Lord, our wedding is coming. The Lord says, dig ye ditches. The valley shall be full of water. I told my wife, babe, this is the word the Lord gave us. So we began praying in the name of Jesus. We dig our ditches. And our valleys are full. Our valleys are full. And then God began to give us wisdom on how to dig ditches. We started digging the ditches. Some ditches were big, some were small. Some were big, some were small. But we dug the ditches all around. And the Lord filled the valley with water. And the wedding happened amazingly. You know, after our wedding, we still had some hundreds of thousands. Few hundreds, though. Few hundreds of thousands saved after wedding. Because God gave us wisdom not to spend all on celebration. So we still had some hundreds of thousands saved after the wedding, because that was, we just followed the flow of life and the wisdom of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus Christ. Are we blessed? Are we blessed? You know, earlier I was thinking, while we were in workers' meeting, you know, it just came to my spirit that, Madila Hase. Okay, how many of us know that financial breakthrough is harvest? Is harvest, right? Good. Then how many of us know that growing into financial liberty is harvest? Financial liberty, you have enough to spend and to give. Then another of us knows that growing into financial dominion is harvest.
Amen. Going into financial dominion is what?
Is others.
And they are at different levels. Certain persons have financial liberty, their needs are met, but they don't have financial
dominion.
Is this clear?
Uh-huh.
Financial dominion is at the level where you learn to think. Financial dominion is at the level where you are the one that installs the kings because you have financial power. Amen. Actually, the greatest power on earth is political power. Right?
Yes.
Because the person in politics can make a decree that will make the person in economic power to go down in 2 nights. 2 days, his economy will run down. Hallelujah. One policy, one announcement on TV. Is this okay? So the greatest power on earth, aside from the power of God, is political power. It was political power that killed John the Baptist. It was political power that bearded Paul, the apostle. It was political power that hung Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Now, military power answers to political power. Because it's the people in government that gives direction to the people in military. So after political power, the next strongest power on earth is economic power. Are you following me? Uh-huh. And that's the realm of financial dominion. Economic power. So that you don't just have a voice because you speak. You have a voice because of what's in your account. So what's in your account is your voice. Is this okay? Hallelujah. Nobody sleeps and wakes up there. What I just described as financial dominion is an harvest of a way of life. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase billionaire's habit?
Good.
There is a way of life that brings people into a kind of life.
That seems like rhyme, but it's a good rhyme.
A way of life that brings people into what? A kind of life. So, Brother James, I was thinking that if I have a specific goal of financial vision for 2030, what should I be doing now that will deliver that harvest into my hands? So if by 2030, I want to comfortably be stewarding tens of millions, give or take, by 2030. Is this clear? I want to comfortably be stewarding tens of millions consistently. Inflow, outflow. As I grow into consistent hundreds of millions, what should I be doing now in 2025? Actually, that goal is too small for 5 years. 5 years, good gone, bro. Then, oh, good gone. Hallelujah. So, but let us leave the analogy. What? Because truthfully speaking, if I keep doing the same thing I'm doing now, bro, at the same degree, there is a high tendency that. It's even sad that many don't even have financial vision for 2030. It even begins there. I guess when you see yourself in 2030, what financial vision is? How do you see yourself financially in 2030? Is this clear? Then what should you do? What field should you plow? What pattern of life should you respond to that will bring you to that place in 5 years? You know, yesterday I was meditating. I think I was talking about meditation like 4 times or 5 times today. I was meditating yesterday on a walk, and I said to myself, there are two kinds of prophets. Prophets who speak by the Spirit, and prophets who speak by pattern. So, I can look at someone's life and predict his next 10 years. I say, in 10 years time, and I didn't do it by the Holy Ghost. I do it by studying patterns. Can I tell that patterns do not lie? This is the reason for which you can look at someone that works with a fool. I say the end of this guy is destruction. Because go full time. Or everyone we know who was working with fools They all ended up in this. He that walks with the wise shall be wise is a pattern. If you were foolish until you started walking with the wise, suddenly wisdom will begin. You go begin to make sense. You go talk what they say. When you get sense like this.
Now, wow.
You know the I should not be looking down at you again, no. Amen. That's all things that happens when teenagers begin to walk with elders. What I just said now. So the teenager will now begin to utter statements and say things that is out of the corridor of his age group, because he is walking with the wise, and the spirit of wisdom is beginning to partner with him because it's part of the essence of his company. So what we company with partners with us. Is this clear? Glory to Jesus. The Lord is good. I won't lie to you. We need these two streams of the prophetic. I don't need to call the other one prophetic. But I call it prophetic because it's futuristic in scope. The capacity to be able to predict the future by studying the past. Is it, you got to answer yes. So, for me, okay, let me use the word futuristic instead of prophetic. We should be futuristic by the Spirit, being able to see by the seeing of the eyes because the Lord showed us things. And we are also futuristic because we studied the past and we can connect the past to the present, and then we can predict the future that is coming. Amen. Let me tell you this. People who have understanding of patterns are dangerous. They are dangerous. They are dangerous. They are dangerous. They are dangerous. Alabako shitalabahaya. Mamro fatila hafe zinemongra kele. What is the basic foundation of understanding patterns? Be a student of your own life. Begin from there. Can you track the pattern of things in your life? Can you track the things that happened in your life that led to every major breakthrough you have ever celebrated? Can you track the things that happened in your life that led to anything that feels like, I rejected that one? Can you track the flow of life that led you there? Amen. You know, today I was meditating. Sorry. Pardon me. I was meditating earlier today, and I came to a phase of thought that I take my life by all sense of humility under God. I take my life, and I was thinking patterns. So, and I asked myself, that what are the patterns of things that played out in my life that led to things that I regret? And I look, I say, right now, I don't really have things I regret in my life. Like, there's no regret. I don't have regrets in my life since the time I became born again. Because to be born again, to a led of the Spirit, there should not be... Will the Lord lead you to regret? Will the Lord lead you to points of regret? Will the Lord lead you to a place where you do things that you will regret? No! But if you walk by the Spirit, you won't have patterns of regret. Is this clear? So if what you now have is patterns of growth and patterns, I can give you my own patterns. And because I understand the patterns, I can duplicate my past results. I can duplicate my past results because I understand the pattern of things in my life. I can tell you how I achieved major breakthroughs and things I did. And I know that if I'm at those kind of... You see, there are certain doors that are familiar doors in the Spirit. If you're serious, you know this what I'm saying. There's certain doors in the spirit familiar. I've been here 15 times. I know this door by name. Matile Barak. Open! I know what this door answers. It knows me. Even this door knows me. Matile Makaya. I remember one time, somebody needed admission in the University of Lori. I said, don't worry. You will get it. And then I went into prayer. I said, oh angel of that atmosphere, you know me, I know you. Open the gate to that lady, give her an admission. She got the admission the first time she applied. certain jobs I labored in the University of Nigeria, this brother can testify. I and him were laboring together in those days. In the University of Nigeria, I labored fever. I labored for 4 years straight, laboring over the campus in intercession. So I know the angel. I know him by name, by number. I tell him, Abi, Ela Bakaya. So when you face familiar doors in the spirit, you should not be struggling to open them. Don't you know where the knob is? It may be concealed to people who don't know it, but to you it's not concealed. You know this door. But if you don't study patterns, it will be difficult for you to have a grasp of familiar places. Is this clear? You'll be able to own the flows and the operations of familiar places in the spirit, because you don't study. It is like everything you pass through passes through you, and there is no remembrance. You must learn how to be a student of your life. Have moments where you think about your life, right? Oh, when I did this, I had this. Even in prayer, you have to track. You know, there was a time in my life that there's this brother. This is father was in school. There's this brother that I used to pray with. Anytime I have a financial need, the guy has something strong on him, right? So anytime I have a financial need and I pray with this guy, oh, the need comes, so the thing appears. So I did it the first time before. I did it the second time before. I said, when I have intercessory body for territory, I don't go to him. I know where to go. Because this one, the apostle is giving Jesus, but this one, he knows the see Jesus. But he has one crazy faith that if I agree with him in prayers, the money will come, and it always does come. It is understanding patterns. I'm a student of my life journey.
Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. There are certain persons around my life. I know what their future is. Not just because I've seen it in the spirit. Look at how they are going now. People that go this way, there's a way they end. It is a sure pattern. It's a sure pattern. The Lord will see to it that the end approaches that way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I will end with this. For the others you want to see tomorrow, sow the seeds today. And don't be too carried away by the needs of today, that you're not building a life for yourself in the future. What are you building for yourself in the future? What are you building for tomorrow? Build relationships for tomorrow. Build businesses for tomorrow. Build start companies for tomorrow. Those want to begin to reap from their company the same day or the same year they planted it, they have issues. Yeah. But just said trust issues. I don't know where you heard that from. But they have issues. You just started the work this year, and everything about you, everything that is coming into the work, you are eating it. Ha. Hey, hey. Hallelujah. The Bible says the rain gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater. The first thing it gives, bro, is seed. It gives seed before it gives bread. It's not bread, so that your packer. That means when you are full to the brim, you don't stop, you don't belly food. Now, remember to also sow seed. No, that's not kingdom. Seed first, then bread. I was studying the scripture recently, and I saw the case of Elijah and the widow. And I saw something that stood out in the instruction. Elijah said, make for me first. So that's what first stood out. I said, this is a strong one. I must be sending my seed first to my man of God, and then use the rest. So I shouldn't first use, and then what's left, send to God's servant that is declaring over me. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to say, there are many prophets in town, but there is the prophet of your prosperity.
Should I say that again? There are many prophets in town, but there is the prophet of your prosperity. You may have many mentors and instructors, but be able to discern the prophet of your prosperity. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, believe the Lord your God, you will be established. Believe his prophets, you will prosper. So this means one of the graces that prophets steward is the grace to prosper people. Is this clear? By prophet, now I don't first mean the office of a prophet, I mean the office of the anointed. Clear enough? So the person can be a teacher, the person can be a pastor, the person can be an evangelist, but that's the person that is declaring the blessing, declaring the word, that is forcefully advancing you. You must know the prophet of your prosperity. And let me say this, ensure that you are consistently sowing your seeds to that field. Because it's one of the things that stirs your own harvest. Is this clear? Amen. Certain persons believe more in giving to the poor than giving to their man of God. They say, the poor don't have, my man of God is rich. If I don't give to these guys, how will they feed? We forgot that you are their God, their maker. You are their God and their maker. That's why you think that they won't see. And nobody says you should not give to the poor. But the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, speaking about sowing and reaping, to give to those who teach you the word. Share your material things to those who give you spiritual things. And then the next verse, it says, whatever a man sows, he shall reap. Amen. One of the ways to intensify your preparation for harvest is to intensify your seed sowing. Clear? If you want to intensify your harvest, intensify your what? Seed sowing. Seed of giving. I think I want to share the testimony here out that somebody was sending seed to me every day for a particular open door. Every day. Sometimes I see 200, sometimes 500, sometimes 1,000. But the person was sending something to my account every day. And shortly after, the open door, the person was believing God for opening. Intensify your seed sowing. Amen. Seeds of giving. Then seeds of speaking. Because one of the ways we fast is speaking. Speaking. Confession. The Greek word homologia, which is saying the same thing, saying the exact thing that was said. Keep speaking. Keep sowing your seed. When you stop speaking, you have stopped sowing seeds. Amen. You know what I found out? Speaking is the way we sow seed and we nurture the seed. I planted, Apollos watered. God gives increase. Please, what is the seed that was planted?
The word.
What is the water?
The word.
So, we sow seed by speaking. We water the seed by speaking. So, intensify in the day when you wake up, speak it. Declare the things you are believing God for. The Bible says, in the morning sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your head, because you do not know whether it's this or that, the one that will prosper out of the two. That's what the Bible says. The wise man in the book of Ecclesiastes now. So, have the cost of consistently sowing your seed. Sowing your seed. Cast your bread upon many waters. After many days, it will return to you. Keep sowing your seed. Keep sowing your seed. Keep sowing your seed. Keep sowing your seed. Then, another one, the seed of diligence. The seed of diligence. It should not be the day that the major contract wants to come. It's the day that says, today I want to rest. Why didn't you rest? Because that's what the devil makes move to you. When you are close to breakthrough, understand that rest, not let me call rest, break is not your friend. Because rest is spiritual and God needs us to rest. But taking break from momentum is not your friend when you are believing God for major breakthrough. Don't take break. Is this fair? Because sir, if I don't take break, I feel like I will break. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Rest, but don't take break. How do I rest? Rest in Him. rest in God. Is this okay? Hallelujah. Is this clear?
The Lord is good all the time. Really, really. People do miss appointed times. People who are prepared for it so long can miss appointed times. Because in appointed season, they were not discerning. In appointed seasons, they were not designed. So, somebody can pray for an appointed time so well and still miss it because when the season came, the person was not designed. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. You see, let us consider the story of someone who received the seed. A lady who received the seed in her womb, and the seed began to grow into a baby. Amen. The seed began to grow into a baby, and then the seed needs to be nurtured. Hallelujah. How do you nurture the seed? Basically, just keep feeding. Because when you stop feeding, you'll be forced to feed. When hunger wipes somebody or remove cord. New Oraimu cord. I'm serious. People will get belly, they try. The kind of hunger where they wipe them sometimes. It's out of this world. They can wake up at odd time of the night and say they want to eat. And you're wondering, does normal people eat at this time? Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Not for the seed. Remember, the seed is the word. The seed is the word. So the word of the Lord that you have received in your spirit, that battered your business, that battered your ministry, that battered what you're doing, that battered the works of the hand, that battered the instruction you are currently obeying. Not for the seed. Recently I was listening to Apostle Joseph Selman and I learned something powerful. Apostle Joseph Selman has received impartation from many men of God. But do you know how he nurtured the impartation? After receiving the impartation, either by laying of hands or by their prophetic decree, he now goes to scripture to find what the Bible says in connection to these things. Because the Bible is the more sure word of prophecy. So if somebody says to you, I impart to you the seed of wisdom. Now, don't just say amen and start flying up and down. Carry your Bible. What does the Bible say about the seed of wisdom? Is there a promise of the seed of wisdom in the Bible? Find what the Bible says. Now begin to pray what the word says. That's how he nurtured, he showed us how that's how he nurtured every single grace he has received. He told us, I received grace of favor from Mike Murdock. I received grace of this from this person. And I said, but for every single grace he received, he went to the word and found a scripture that referenced that impartation and stayed on it because the scripture is the master word of prophecy. But if you will not give yourself to the exercise and the labor, you just run with one word. Let me tell you this. The more the witness is, the stronger your conviction. And the stronger your conviction, the closer you are to a miracle. So increase the witnesses of faith. You got a word from the man of God, fine. Get another one from scripture. Then get another one from scripture. Then get another one from scripture. Then get another one from scripture that speaks into the same thing. As you keep increasing the witness, your faith will keep intensifying. Your conviction will rise. And you'll be strengthened in your spirit to be able to receive the miracles and the breakthroughs that you have been trusting the Lord for. Amen. Hallelujah. So, follow me carefully. The woman began to nurture the seed by eating, feeding on the word, feeding on knowledge. Because it's not just the word you need here now. Feed on the word, then feed on knowledge. Knowledge in business, or knowledge of business, knowledge of the crypto stuff, knowledge of media. Keep feeding on knowledge. Keep expanding your knowledge. Keep increasing in knowledge. Keep increasing in knowledge. You know, while I was coming to church today, my wife was talking, and then we're saying that there are many gifted persons, but they lack knowledge. And I found out that skill is gift plus knowledge. So there are many people that are gifted, but they are not skilled. So skill is gift plus knowledge. So keep feeding yourself
knowledge. The more your knowledge, the better you become. And then the closer you are in not sowing that seed until it is ripe for harvest. Amen. Then when it is appointed time, you know what the Bible calls appointed time? Follow me carefully. The Bible called appointed time the time of sorrow. The time of sorrow. The time of sorrow. So it means close to the appointed time of harvest at the times where things begin to go bad. Suddenly what's supposed to work, that begins to be like, this is not working. Suddenly the enemy begins to raise people that you love to hurt you. Suddenly the enemy begins to call your attention to mockers and people that want to flatter you and people that want to despise you. And if someone is not careful, they will go through, let me tell you this, everybody goes through that dark night. Every single person that becomes major in God's hand, every single person goes through the dark night of the betting season of the harvest. It's a dark night. All of us go through it. Every single person, even the greatest of the men of God, we just handle it differently. But everybody goes through the dark night. It comes in different ways, in different measures, in different operations, but everybody goes through it. Sometimes that dark night makes us to weep, it makes us to sorrow. It's not even that sometimes, every single time. Because have you ever seen someone that is giving birth and she was smiling? And they said, push, eh? They said, push down, eh? They go serious. Even if the nurse is not there, the nurse will give a slap on a bum bum. And then that push is smiling. This is not the time. This is not the time to be smiling and laughing up and down. This is the time to bear what you have been carrying. Amen. But can I make bold to tell you that there is something called stillbirth in the spirit? Stillbirth means the seed dies at the point of birth. So the same way that there is stillbirth in the natural, there is also stillbirth in the spirit. Oh, Ramandila Hafto. I want us to read one or two scriptures in that order. John chapter 16, verse 20 to 22. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. And as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. She remembers no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. Now keep that in your faith. I want to read another scripture. Ela monde prati la haste. Riande zozo prata la gasto. Lionde prati le sofia natai. Siga barata palataya. Ela madila. Hallelujah. Now that's what you just read. So that there is the hour of birthing. You saw it there, right? The hour, you know, there is the season of harvest and there is the hour of harvest, Bro James. Like we said, the Belewa. There is the season of harvest and there is the hour of harvest. The hour of harvest is the time of the greatest intensity of pressure. The greatest intensity of pressure, because the baby is pushing. So even before the mother begins to push, the baby is already engaging the womb itself because it's tired of being incubated. Its hour has come. So sometimes there are certain things in us that this is wants to forcefully come out because their hour has come. The time is right for the harvest of these seeds. You have carried them in your spirit for years. You have been nurturing them in prayers, in fasting, in studying, in declaring the word, in rejoicing, in believing. And now the hour has come. But it needs you to apply some more pressure. And let me say, the hour comes with pain. It comes with discomfort. But the Bible says, when the woman becomes delivered of a child, she becomes happy. She becomes joyful. Just as the Bible says in Psalm 127 verse 6, have you seen a man going about bearing seeds in his hands, weeping? The saints are doubtlessly returned rejoicing with seeds of harvest. So it means in the transition period of seeds to harvest is weeping. Periods of pain, periods of weeping, periods of sorrow, it can mean different things for different persons. It can be the time where the enemy begins. The enemy, like I said, the enemy can cast somebody onto a dark cloud of depression. Depression, negative emotions, you know. Some people can even become suicidal at that point because the hour has come. Ali Mahatia. You see, yes. Sometimes I used to feel like when somebody is at the point of giving birth, there is a gate open in the spirit. There's a gate in the spirit. A gate of birthing, a gate of releasing another, not just another spirit now into time, because spirit is already in time. But giving the spirit that's in time, expression in time. So they want to birth the spirit. So usually that point of birthing is they are at a time portal, there's a gate in the spirit that they have to push through to be able to open. And there's a measure of forbearance. Somebody say forbearance. Forbearance that they need to be able to push through. So they feel like giving up. I'm tired. I can't push anymore. They say you can push. I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. Stop saying I'm tired. Say I am strengthened. That's what I said, all right. Everyone's up there. As they say, I am strengthened. I am strengthened. So in those seasons where it seems like I'm even getting tired, instead of saying I'm tired, say I am strengthened. Because you get tired at the hour of birthing. Let me tell you this. Martin go parry the lifter. The hour of birth is a critical moment, because if the seed, if the person did not engage friends to birth, the seed can die. And that's why I spoke about seed birth. The seed can die. So the seed that the person has been preparing for, the person got to the juncture of preparation. And there was no strength. There was no strength. There was no strength. So what do you do at those periods? Call for prayer support. Tell folks around you that can pray, I need prayer. I feel like I'm in a season of my life where I just need some energy. I need energy in the spirit. I feel like something is angry. Let me tell you this also. Hosea chapter 13, verse 13. Things don't hang for too long in the spirit. When they hang for a while and it is not trapped, they shift. The wind moves them. Hosea chapter 13 verse 13. I can't find my Hosea anymore. I think it took you off. Okay, I've seen it. Hosea 13 verse 13. Are we there? The Bible says, the sons of a traveling woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. He should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. He should not stay long at the place of the breaking forth of... You know what that means? I mean, we are adults. You know what that means? If the person stay long at the moment, they are saying, push it, I cannot push. Push, you know what happened? The baby becomes stressed. And when the baby becomes stressed, the baby's life is threatened. And then that's what they're taking at this. They're taking at this. What's the at this now? And then soon they can begin to think of considering, let's just cut this woman and bring the baby out. And if they do it sometimes, if they do it too late, not discerning, what they bring out is a dead baby. So it's wrong. So stay for too long at the place of the breaking forth of children. It is wrong to stay for too long, and you can say that the season is pregnant and you are still there in the pregnant season. You say you have been facing this pregnant season for 3 months, bro. Ha! After what happens is that the season fades. Who knows what I'm talking about? I said the season that was pregnant suddenly feels like the season is not pregnant anymore. The witnesses were getting in the spirit that it is time, the hour is now. Suddenly, all the witnesses evaporate. They don't come anymore. There is no conviction anymore. The strength of faith is gone. The strength of joy about the season is gone. The strength of push is gone. Even the conversation about that thing, you know, before you are seated into Father, thank you because it's met. But suddenly, that utterance is lost. Because the season has shifted. Hallelujah. It is wrong to stay long in the place of the burden of children. But in the hour of burden is the hour of travail. You need prayers. Much prayers. May we be discerning to know when we're in the hour of burden. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes you need a prophet to tell you. I remember when I was pregnant. There was a day we got invited to the hospital with our bag. We want to come and born today. When they observed my eyes, they said, you are not in labor, go home. We were feeling like, for us, it should not be painful. So, my eyes was feeling contraction. So, we were able to keep safety as we're going to go and give birth. But when we got to the hospital, they said, go home. We're like, it's our season. We're already calculating how we give birth that evening. You know? And they called people to us and said, but I think so yesterday you were at the market. You know those stuff. Where they saw us, they said, go home. This means there are certain times that we can wrongly interpret our seasons. Is this correct? And then we need certain prophetic voices. They say, Emma Pillow. That means don't go yet. Still, I know how you feel, but still, amen. And still, sir. I'm only seeing the contractor, we know, but this thing I'm seeing, it should take 1 month. Or it should take 3 weeks. Or it should take 2 weeks. Sometimes there is something called presumptive something contraction. My wife, what's it? Ma? Any contractor here? Let me just call it pre-bad contractor. Or early contractor. So sometimes you can feel early contractor even around 8 months. And you'll be like, my season has come. Your season has not come yet. You still need some nurturing to do. Some speaking to your body to do. Is this okay? Some praying over the baby to do. Some speaking into the hospital and those that will attend to you at the hospital to do. You see, I'm commanding the atmosphere and the circumstance to align to do before your birthing season. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Are we blessed? Let's rise and pray.